If you turn to page 1045 in your Bibles, that'll be really helpful before we look at God's Word together. Luke chapter 12, I'm going to read from verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Well, we're going to need God's help this afternoon. Let me pray, Chris, before we look at this part of the Bible together. Father God, we thank you so much for your precious words. Thank you so much for your promises. We thank you that you're the God who has compassion on all that you've made. And so we pray that this afternoon, as we come to listen to your words, that you'd help them to go deep into our hearts, that we'll receive them not as the words of men, but as the words of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, often during the week, as I prepare a sermon, the hardest part for me is actually, how am I going to get all this stuff that's in my head and I'm excited about to seem relevant to you guys? Because it is relevant. How am I going to get you in that first 10 seconds to see that this really matters? And actually, I looked at this passage this week. I thought, actually, I don't need to do that, because we're talking about worry. We're talking about anxiety. And I mean, if you're brave, put your hand up if you've never had any worries or anxiety in your life. That's none of us. We all struggle with anxiety. And I take it, for all of us, we want to be free from anxiety. Anxiety can be enslaving. So there used to be a time when people would go out to a restaurant and you'd actually talk to each other in the restaurant. But nowadays, you go out to a restaurant and everyone is sat there on their phones, like rapidly replying to WhatsApp, to Twitter, to Instagram, because we're all anxious about keeping up with all these notifications. And that's just the light-hearted stuff, isn't it? For myself, as someone who actually struggles with insomnia, this is actually really relevant to me. I mean, for me, this is a helpful week to reflect on this passage, because on average, two nights a week, I can't sleep. Just stay up all night. The whole day is just replaying through my head. I'm trying to solve the next day's problems, and I can't get to sleep. And so worry or anxiety is something that's relevant to all of us. Now, by the way, I should say that if you're someone who struggles with like a medical anxiety disorder, somebody's been diagnosed, that's not what today's about. There's a clinic, world-class clinic called the Mayo Clinic. It defines anxiety disorder as the kind of anxiety that frequently involves intense or persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. And it might lead to panic attacks. So that's not the kind of anxiety we're talking about today. We're not talking about a medical anxiety disorder. But I take it if you're here and that's something that you're struggling with, you still want to listen. Because surely someone who believes the things that Jesus says here is going to look different to someone who doesn't, whether they've got mild anxiety or serious anxiety disorder. Surely that's going to make a difference. And so here's a question that I think Jesus wants us to sort out today. Here's the question. So we're going to look at it in terms of two trees. You've got here heat. The heat signifies our situations that we face, right? So we've got all sorts of daily situations, things that might cause an anxiety or worry, things we care about. It might be, say, our kids, and that's one form of heat, a circumstance. It might be, say, our job. I really hope this stays up, actually. It might be, say, our studies. There are all sorts of situations that come across in life, and they're heat. Well, here's the question that Jesus wants us to deal with, is this. Why is it that some Christians, given the same set of circumstances, maybe even the pressures of planting a church, maybe it's getting people's respects, whatever it might be, why is it that some Christians in those certain circumstances flourish and grow, and yet some Christians aren't a fruitful tree, but are a thorny tree? They don't produce fruit. So some Christians, you see, grow in those circumstances, but others of us, many of us, we are like this thorny tree that produces anxiety. And that's what characterizes us. What's the difference? And so the obvious question, I think, is, well, they must have their roots in very different things, right? This tree must believe something very different to this tree. And that's what Jesus wants to help us to see today. What's the difference between these two types of Christians? It means one grows and flourishes, whilst the other is crippled with anxiety. We come to Luke chapter 12. We've just been reading before I read my passage, verse 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Jesus has just been telling the story of a very rich man. Did you see that? The story of the parable of the rich fool. This guy is a guy who's so anxious, actually. He's really anxious about being secure in this life. So anxious that he does is he tears down his barn and he builds mega barns, brand new ones, and fills them with a life supply of food. And as I read that, I thought, well, that's just every Londoner's retirement plan, isn't it? Like, that's just what we all want to do. I want to sell my cardboard box-sized excuse for a house and buy a mansion in Manchester and still have enough money left over for a pension. Isn't that just what every Londoner wants? Well, what's God's verdict? What's Jesus? Look at verse 20 of chapter 12. God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" You see what God says? He says, it is foolish. It's foolish to obsess over being secure in this life when your life is in your control anyway. It's never been in your control. And that's the kind of anxiety that Jesus has in mind. When he says worry, literally translates anxiety. That's the kind of anxiety Jesus wants us to consider. It's this. When we're emotionally distressed over things that I feel I need to make me secure in life. Okay, that's anxiety. We're emotionally distressed over things I feel I need to make me secure in life. And I take it that's what this tree is believing about itself in reality. It's got this on its mind. It's rooted in prioritizing the things that it needs. That's all what it thinks about. And Jesus says that will land you in anxiety and worry. So let's look at that first. In Jesus' day, this looked very specific with the disciples. Have a look at what it looked like for the disciples. Verse 22, basically, it's don't be anxious about basic needs. Look at verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For your life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." So I read this passage, and then I go to my fridge, and I open it, and like, I can't really relate to these guys. I've got no idea what it looks like to worry about food. I mean, there's always food in my fridge. I open my wardrobe and there's clothes. So I can't even begin to relate to these disciples. How can you be worried about food or clothing? Well, I think I got an experience of this a few years ago. Actually, last year I went to Uganda on a preaching trip. I went there to help organize a conference for Ugandan pastors. And as part of this conference, we had to meet one-to-one with these Ugandan pastors to kind of just pray for them, ask them how life is going. And there was this recurring pattern. I would sit down with a pastor from Uganda and I would say, you know, how's the family going? How can I pray for you, brother? And the answer would always be something like, oh, well, you know, pray for my 15 kids. All right, fine. How are they doing? I sold our land to pay for my seminary fees for studying theology. So pray for them because I'm not sure where food is going to come from. I had to take my son out of school. He's only 15, but he's got to start working to provide for his mum. pray for my family that they would have food this week, this month. Or, you know, the other things, as the conference went on, each day, these pastors would, I mean, they put us people from the UK to shame. Each day they would turn up in these really sharp suits to the conference. It was a 2-week conference. They would have these really sharp suits, and I was like, gosh, these guys aren't messing around. But as the conference went on, I began to notice, day after day, it was the same suit. Day after day, like same, oh, it's a grey suit again. Same one, same shirt. And you begin to realize these guys, actually, that's the only smart clothing they have. That's it, it's that suit. And so actually they know, don't they, what it looks like to be a disciple. And because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, I've literally just got the shirt on my back and I don't know where food's coming from. And that's what it's like for these guys. In chapter 10, Jesus teaches his disciples that, look, to go on mission for me, you're going to have to leave everything behind. You're going to need food. You're going to live hand to mouth. In chapter 12, Jesus teaches them, verse 11, that because of my name, people are going to persecute you. Authorities are going to tell you that you're a criminal. So how are you going to earn money for food when you're being branded as a criminal? And so this is what's going on. These guys are really genuinely anxious about food and clothing. And Jesus says to them, don't worry. Don't worry about it. See, as I listen to that, I think, that's unreasonable. I mean, how dare you tell people, I mean, they've given up everything to follow you, and you're saying to them, don't worry about food. I mean, isn't it your fault that they haven't got food? Like, this discipleship is costing them everything. You say, don't worry. But Jesus says, don't worry. You see, he's not being unreasonable. He actually understands us well. The fact that he says, don't worry, means he knows that we are worried. He knows that when life is this out of control, that actually I want to worry. That a normal response is to be anxious. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Why is that? Have a look at verse 23. Why not be anxious? For your life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. You see, Jesus is saying to them, you don't need to worry. Your life, your significance in this world cannot be reduced to your ability to put food on the table. Don't let people enslave you by telling you that your life only matters if you can put food on the table, if you can dress well, if you can bring up 2.4 children, if you can gain respect. That's not what your life is. He wants to liberate these people from anxiety. Imagine you had a friend. Imagine this. Imagine you had a friend who, she lost a job. She lost a job and she's been made redundant. And then you're thinking, well, she's going to have to just kind of retreat from social life for a bit because this is quite a hard time to go through. But she's still there tomorrow. Yep. How are you guys going to the pub? Yeah, she's still meeting up. No social engagements cancelled. And she's really open about it. You see her, you know, you meet her. How's your week been? Well, yeah, I lost my job, but, you know, it's been hard. How's your week been? she's just straightforward about it. And you think, wow, okay. And imagine 3 months go by and you meet her again and it's 3 months and still no job. And now things are getting really serious. For the first time ever, she's missed her rent payment. But she's still just as fun to be around. She's still just as cheerful, and you begin to think, what's going on here? Normally people now would be really annoyed to be like, you know, just wonders who's just really depressed and, oh, life's really bad. But she's really cheerful. And you say to her, look, I know you're struggling with cash. Can I help you with money? And she says, yeah, I'll take it. No embarrassment. Thank you very much. How's your week going? If I had a friend like that, I'd be like, I'll have what she's having, right? Like, what does she know that I don't know? And Jesus says, maybe she might know something like this. She might know these two things. Consider God's care and seek God's kingdom. That's the two things. Jesus says, if we want to not be enslaved by anxiety, we need to consider God's care and seek God's kingdom. So that's the first thing I think the flourishing plan has, is this, considering God's care. Have a look at verse 24. Jesus says, verse 24, Luke chapter 12. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. So I don't know if, I mean, most of us here, Londoners, have been here a while, so Have you ever met someone who's moving out of London and they say, you know what I'm really going to miss about London? I'm really going to miss the pigeons. I'm really, really going to miss the pigeons. I've never met anyone like that because, I mean, pigeons are basically rats with wings, right? That's what they are. They're diseased rats with wings. That's what they are. No one's going to miss them. But these guys in the first century, ravens were basically the same. They're just useless birds. They're classed as unclean animals, right? They're no good for eating. You shouldn't go near them. But look who's ignoring the don't feed the raven sign. God, right? Verse 24, God feeds them. God cares for these useless birds, apparently. See, these ravens don't need to lose sleep over storing stuff in barns because they live hand to mouth in the hand of the living God. God says, Psalm 145, verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's the God of the Bible. He feeds ravens with worms in the ground, with seeds on the plants. Just imagine next time you're walking in London and there's this pigeon comes across and cuts you up like they do. Just look at it for a second. God feeds that pigeon. God feeds that pigeon. Let it remind you of God's care. Let the pigeon, let the raven remind you that God cares. Well, here's the punchline, verse 24. And how much more valuable you are than birds. You see, here's the big secret to freedom from anxiety. You ready? Big secret. Remember you're a human being. Just remember that you're a human being. Remember that God made you in His image and that therefore you are more valuable than ravens or pigeons. You don't need to do painful yoga. You just remember that you're a human being. And yet, I don't think we believe this. I don't think Jesus thinks we believe this, because that's why he says, you of little faith. You see, he says that in verse 28. Oh, you of little faith. Jesus does not believe that we really think that God cares for us more than birds. So he has to give us more examples. He says, look, well, how about that wild flower growing in your garden? You know, you just want to de-weed it and burn it. And he says, look at it. Just take a second and look at it. It's actually dressed more beautifully than if Solomon could afford a Armani suit. That flower is actually dressed better. It's more beautiful. God has put more thought into it than the best suits that you can buy. Do you believe this? Or he says, look at your life. Verse 25. Have you stopped and thought that the very breath you take next comes from God? Every minute, every hour, every day, every birthday, God has given you that. And you didn't worry to get it. God just gave it to you. Do you believe that God cares for you? I'm not sure if we do. See, Jesus isn't saying don't buy clothes. You might think, oh, he's saying, so don't buy clothes, don't work for money. He's not saying don't buy clothes. He's not saying don't work for money. He's not saying don't bring up your kids properly. He's just saying, why are you anxious? Why are we anxious about this? He's asking the hard question. Why are we losing sleep? Why are we not praying with our family? Why are we irritable? Why are we downcast? Why is it that church has now become a burden to me? Why am I working 7 days a week? Why are you crying yourself to sleep? Why are you getting into debt? Why are you feeling ashamed? He's asking us, why are you anxious? And he says, look, if any of those things sound familiar to you, maybe it's because you do not trust that God cares for you. Maybe it's because you think that God will provide for a raven, but bypass you. So the question is, what would it take? What would it take to convince you that God actually cares? What would it take? Well, say we look around us at the birds eating and the rain falling and the sun shining. And all of creation is screaming at you, literally, that God cares. Would it take that? Well, apparently not. See, the Bible says in Romans 1 that actually we suppress the truth, that all of creation is revealing God's nature, and we suppress the truth. We don't want to listen. And so what will it take? What if the infinite Son of God leaves heaven, takes on flesh, and comes into our messy world and walks the dusty roads? That would be a pretty dramatic show of care, wouldn't it? What would it take? What if that same Son lived an extraordinary life of care. He welcomed sinners. He healed the broken. He fed the poor. Would that show that God cares for us? What if that son began to teach that, look, I'm gonna lay down my life for sinful people like yourself who suppress the truth about God's care? What if he said, I'm gonna go to the cross and die the death the sinners deserve? Well, that would be massive, wouldn't it? That would be huge. That would be God saying, I really, really care. You see, and that's the exact thing that Jesus has been teaching as we come to this part of Luke's gospel. That God loves you so much so that his son came to die for you. That God cares for you. And would you let him move your heart away from anxiety? Well, if we begin to believe this, we are liberated. We're liberated from anxiety. And Jesus says, when we do that, we can do this second thing. We can seek God's kingdom. Have a look at verse 29. Actually, it will come up on the screen, verse 29, because we're going to look at... Here's what it literally says. If you actually take a more literal translation from the Greek, it says this. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world would seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Now, this is, you know, big question of the day. What's the common word in those verses? Seek. Seek. Seek is a common word. It's very easy, right? Jesus is saying, here's what not to seek, and here's what to seek. Really straightforward. He says this, verse 29, don't seek after food or drink. So he's not saying don't eat, he's saying don't make material things your priority in life. Don't make them the thing that you live for. Because the pagan world, those who do not believe in the God who cares for them, they chase after those things. Materialism is the status quo. Jesus says, don't do that if you follow me. Whenever I go away from London, it's always striking. I don't know if you have the experience, you go away from London for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and when you come back, you start noticing things, right? Things that you just kind of didn't really see before. One of the things I notice is on the tube, just the adverts, everywhere. Like when you just come, it's quite oppressive. You suddenly realize every surface is coated in an advert. And you begin to think, wow, the world is just saying to me, your life is not worth living unless you have the latest smartphone, the latest investments, the latest holiday. You know, you need to be riding walruses in the Arctic or something like that. And you think, why do I need this stuff? But that's what the world says. It says, your life does not matter unless you have material things. And Jesus says, well, if you're my follower, that's not your life. You've got a better priority. Verse 30, he says, seek God's kingdom. But seek God's kingdom. It's like he's saying, look, the material stuff, that's minor. Don't watch it. Just leave that stuff. You're a child of God. You've got a bigger priority. And it's seek God's kingdom. Make living for Jesus as your king your life's priority. And trust God. God will cover the basic needs. You just live for his kingdom. And that might sound a bit like wishful thinking to you. You might think, well, how is it just going to magic food? But actually, that is true. God promises that, in general, if you focus on faithfulness to Jesus, he will provide the basic needs. And those pastors in Uganda, actually, somehow, year to year, they keep going. So you've got to reckon with that. God says, I'll provide the basic needs. And he does. Those pastors, year after year, the money comes in and they keep going. God provides the basic needs in general if we focus on faithfulness to Jesus. And so what does it mean to seek his kingdom, to live for Jesus as your king? Well, Jesus says, well, let me just give you one specific thing. He says this. Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. You see, let's come back to our tree. Jesus is saying that if seeking God's kingdom is your priority, then flourishing, growing as a Christian, looks like generosity. He's saying that if you're focusing on God's kingdom, then I don't need to hoard stuff in this life. See, what's the point of trying to keep things that I can't keep anyway? He says it's like trying to keep money in a purse, that, you know, the muck's underneath the purse, eating it, making holes, and you're putting money in and the money's just falling out of the bottom. And he says, that's what life is when you try to hoard stuff. But if you know that God's kingdom is your priority and that's what's going to last in eternity, you're free. You're free. You're free from being anxious about this world stuff. I can give away things because my treasure is in heaven. His kingdom is going to last forever. I mean, what does the rich fool do? Verse 31, the rich fool literally treasures things for himself on earth and is not rich towards God. But what does it mean to be rich toward God? Being rich toward God means I free up my life to be generous because my true life is secure in heaven. And so you can say about your house, well, my house, that's not where my treasure is. My treasure is with Jesus in eternity, so I can offer accommodation to a Christian who's struggling, even though I barely know them. I can say, yeah, come and stay for a week. You can say, well, my career, that's not where my treasure is. My treasure is with Jesus in heaven. So I can take a career break to get more involved in a church. And those things aren't just theoretical. Those are things that some of you here sat here have done in the last 12 months. You've done those things. Because you know, don't you, that your treasure is in heaven. So praise God for this church family. Thank God that he's working in our lives, making us less slave and slave to anxiety and more free as we consider God's care and seek his kingdom. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to spend some time just reflecting on what we've heard.